Our job is to move as much out of the way, the best ability is availability, move as much out of the way so we can be available for that unique direct calling daily.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. Very excited about the conversation today. I think we are speaking with someone that speaks of the same message in his own very beautiful way. So I know we're going to see a lot of parallels between his message and what I want to share on this lovely podcast. You guys are in for a treat. And on top of that, he is about to launch a new book called Spiritual Millionaire, Unlocking the Seven Inner Laws of Abundance and Money. So if you've been looking to build your business, looking to scale, looking to grow, but you want to do it in a way that doesn't go against your values, comes from a place of love, well, we're going to talk about these laws and so much more with the one and only Preston Smiles, the abundance coach himself, man who's been behind two existing books, Love Louder, 33 Ways to Spark Inspiration and Amplify Your Life, as well as Now or Never, Your Epic Life in 5 Steps. He calls himself Love's Voice, and we're going to hear the voice of love. You're on the Selling with Love podcast, so obviously we're going to have a lot of resonance happening here, but I'm so excited. The man has a huge following, has appeared on all the major shows as well, and we're so glad that he's going to be here on our little space as well. Preston, welcome to the show.
What is up, my brother? Ooh, ooh,
rah! We were just talking that we've kind of hovered in some very similar circles. I mean, you've been on a couple Mind Valley stages. I know that you've been kind of close to that family, and you've been speaking a message of love. And I felt like, wow, how have we not had a chance to connect together? And I thought a beautiful place to kind of kick off this whole thing is being love's voice. I thought a good definition of love would be the right place to start. How do you define love?
You know, there's 8 billion versions of that. And then there is the overarching version of that, which is existence. All of existence is love. Presence determines how much, right? The best ability is availability. Because the more available I am, the more I am present to the presence, and I can experience said love through the air I breathe and the functioning of my beautiful vessel that I have for now, and the functioning of the stars and the planets and the birds and the bees and all of the juicy magic that's occurring in any given moment. So love for me is existence.
I like that. But it brings me to ask what would be the flip side of that, which is if presence and existence is there, it feels like a lot of actions and a lot of what we see around us might not be necessarily a reflection of love. And so how does the opposite look like when you're not in love? Are you not present? Are you dead? Like, what's going on?
So this is an interesting one, right? And I'm releasing a book very soon called Spiritual Millionaire, where I speak about this very thing. One of the laws, because there's 7 laws of abundance and money that I've used to elevate myself from being a surf instructor who was making $30,000 a year to a, you know, multimillionaire. And not just that, it's not even the money. It's I love the dog shit out of my life. And excuse my cursing right there, the dog crap out of my life. And I have before I ever had any of the things, right? And so one of the laws is the law of yes. And that essentially states, and I made these things up, but I didn't, they're universal principles. It essentially states that there is no place where God isn't. So even when I think I'm in some version of an opposite, even when I'm offering some quote unquote lower vibration, God is, love is, existence is. And, you know, I'll give you a pretty interesting example. I went and did a vision fast. Some people would call that a vision quest. But I went into the woods for 8 days and 8 nights, and 4 of those nights I was alone with no tent or anything of that nature, and I only had 2 gallons of water, of which I barely drank. And I would have these interactions with these ants where it really blew me away that we in some ways are no different, right? We could look down at an ant doing something that we could deem violent, and in the scheme of things, the ant is just playing out its role in the ecosystem, right? But when I get involved in it, when I add personality, when I look at it from a particular perspective, then I can start having judgments about what that ant should and shouldn't be. And the crazier piece would be if I was the ant and I was involved in that way, then I could judge myself. And I believe that the body is a living library that stores everything we've ever been through. And so our job is to free the body, right? Like a big piece of this book is going to be about the nervous system and the body, right? As a portal to money and abundance, right? Because the freer the nervous system, the freer the body, the more availability, the more receptivity we have to the one power, the law of yes, the one power, not two, not three, not seven. I don't believe in a devil. I don't believe in any of that. There is only one, right? And to the degree that we are plugged in, like electricity, right? I can plug in my iPhone. I can plug in my Tesla. I can plug in a city. All of those, the electricity always says yes. Always. No value judgments. Doesn't matter what you're wearing. No matter who you've been 3 months ago, 3 years ago, the electricity says yes. God always says yes. That's my truth.
I've not heard that philosophy labeled that way. I really appreciate that. I think, you know, if you think about how we have a lot of judgments, and especially in an era where we're looking a lot on social media and trying to determine what is the right thing to do. Am I doing enough? Am I being lazy? Am I procrastinating? Am I going out there making money in the right way, the wrong way, making enough? I feel like that's the stuff that overwhelms, maybe depresses a little bit. And what you're kind of suggesting here is that even if you might have just a couple droplets coming out of the tap, you're still getting a couple droplets. And now the focus isn't about, you know, labeling if it's enough water or not. It's just saying like, hey, maybe there's some potential to open up a tap if I'm not just labeling this as not enough. Am I getting this?
Nailing it. Nailing it. That's an even more epic like illustration, bro. Yes, exactly.
So I'm curious because I think I kind of, like I said, when we were going to have a conversation, I feel like I'm processing steps here because it seems to be something I'm already like, hell yeah, brother. And I want to kind of bring that into the concept of somebody wanting to be a spiritual millionaire, wanting to bring abundance. And I want you to reaffirm something for me. Are we saying that when you're doing your best work and bringing a lot of money, that is a way of increasing electricity and there's no negative judgment around making abundance, making money, being like the root of all evil, all that stuff, that kind of goes away, doesn't it?
Yeah, because here it is, right? So I'm going to, again, punch a few of the listeners in the face in the most loving, beautiful way, right? The distinction, right? So this material, this shirt, you have a black shirt on, really cool headphones. We both got the whole thing. Everything that is occurring right here, right now, not just on you and I, but on every single person that is listening to or watching this podcast, what is here now was yours 30 years ago. You have no resistance, right, to when it was coming. And the big game, right? So one of the laws I have in the book is the law of the ant and the elephant. Because in a societal perspective, we look for the elephants. Everything has to be the elephant, but there's no judgment, right? In the eyes of the universe, in the eyes of Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Allah, Source, Divine Intelligence, an ant and an elephant are equal. And so if I can tap into and experience the ant called black shirt, the ant called particular microphone, the ant called the car I drive, the ant called the bed I sleep on, if I can treat that like the elephant in my mind, then I win every single time. So the thing I want to make clear is that money is no different, right? It has no inherent value except for the value we give it. And I say yes to money like I say yes to everything else, right? Like I have a $200,000 car just sitting out there, and then another one, like a couple classics and all that stuff. I don't treat those different than, like, you know, my iPhone. They're not more valuable. They cost more, yes, but they're just things, and those things will belong to someone else, or they'll be trash, right? Whoever built this house, which is awesome, they built it 22 years ago. They didn't know it was mine too. They thought they were building it just for themselves. They didn't realize that they were going to sell it at some point, and that at some point I was going to be in alignment with the truth of my being, and that my time was coming and we were going to collide, just like this shirt, just like everything in existence. So we put too much on it. Is this landing? Is this making sense?
This is making sense. There's a part of me that's like, wait, I need to bring this down to the 3D, okay? I need to put this into application. So I need to go back into your life that you've quoted earlier, which is you're teaching surf, making $30,000 a year, but here's this path that you've walked where you are now. And if I'm just listening to this and say that I've started my business and say I'm living some struggles, I'm hearing you, Preston, I'm like, I want that car. I can look at my car and I can make this an elephant too, but like, what am I supposed to think about very differently to where I am now that even makes me open to the possibility that these things could come into my life?
Yep. So again, let me see how I want to start this, because I've just swim in this stuff, right? And I've lived it for so long. Let's start with one of my favorite quotes comes from the Gnostic Gospels of Thomas. And it states, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. But if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. First step in all of this is being true to thine own self. What is trying to come forward? How can I be a beacon, a vessel, a light for the enhancement of life? So, the mere fact that you have answered the call means it's done. I'm going to say this again differently. Everybody listening heard the call. Doesn't mean there's not static on the line. Doesn't mean that you haven't, you know, doubted whether the call was actually for you or not, but you heard it enough to be on a podcast like this. You heard it enough to start the business. You heard it enough to put yourself out there. And now, you know, there's life happening. Personality jumps in. But the truth is that there's something for each and every one of us to bring forward, right? The fruit doesn't belong to the tree. It belongs to the ecosystem. The fruit doesn't belong to you. So yes, the mere fact that you answered the call and you are starting the process of producing fruit means it's done. Now your job in this whole process is to trust the process. Again, the shirt you have on, whether you got it from Target, whether you got it from Gucci, wherever you got it, it doesn't matter where you got the shirt. The shirt was always meant to be yours for now. So if the shirt you have on currently while you're listening to this podcast was always meant for you, then what else was always meant for you? And is it on its way? And can you trust? Can you trust that what is yours will find you?
Preston, when I hear this, there's a part of me that's getting really excited about the fact that, okay, if I trust, I do what I'm doing. And I've had these kinds of conversations before. It's like every time I do surrender and I just do what I feel is kind of my natural thing, there's a fear in me that's like, oh, you're just going to be lazy, do nothing, and like expect everything to come for you. But I'm also going to confirm that I'm aware it's not my nature. Like, I know I'm going to work. I know I'm going to do things, and I love doing it, and it brings me fulfillment. So I feel like I kind of have that natural alignment towards at least always wanting to create, serve. And to me, like that fear of like, am I just going to rot away if I just trust and expect things to come? No, I'm still going out there. I'm putting in work. Like that's just my natural state. So I have a comfort in that. And I'm hoping for anybody listening, we're not saying that you just need to stop doing everything and expect everything to come to you. It's that when you stop worrying so much about it, you'll just start naturally doing things that produces high value. I'm going to throw something at you, which is the one that I sometimes struggle with, which is differentiating what is the things that I should be doing that feels like it's really my path versus I'm looking out there at what some people are doing and I'm like, ah, I should be doing that. And maybe an example of the tree is like I see an apple tree and I'm like, ah, I'm supposed to make apples and I'm an orange tree all along, but I'm just trying so hard to make apples and like I'm making very shitty apples. They're basically warped and mutated oranges, you know?
Yes, I hear you on that one. And watch this, because I'm going to get super brass tacks and just give like exact things. Number one, success does not require that we look out the window, but it does require that we look in the mirror. And so sometimes the biggest issue that people have is that they're looking out the window. They're looking at their neighbors, right? They're not trusting. I'll give you an example of you take off from LA flying to New York, and halfway through, you know, the pilot comes on and says, we hit some weather. We're going to need to stop in North Dakota. Now, to the personality, you go, oh my God, what am I doing in North Dakota? I'm trying to get to New York. New York is the goal. New York is the goal. And I'm so fixated on New York that I'm creating an unhappy vibration, right? And an unhappy journey will never produce a happy ending. Let's just get there, right? An unhappy journey will never produce a happy ending. But that aside, we stop in North Dakota. Now I get there and look around, and it's awesome. And I have a conversation. And while we're waiting for the next flight, which is 2 days from now, I meet somebody, and that person puts me in contact with another person, and then I end up dating his cousin or whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, I have an entire family and a new skill set that would have never occurred if I just went straight to New York. Now, I get back on that flight, and we start heading to New York again, and it stops one more time. Oh, come on, God. You know what I want. I want the thing, right? Now, I'm going to side note this. You can't have what you want, but you may experience what you have. Now, this is going to land on four different levels, and I keep hitting you guys. I'm hitting, we're doing mixed martial arts right now, and I'm just jab, jab, crossing, right? So let this land. Anybody listening, you can't have what you want, but you may experience what you have. And I just said this differently a minute ago. An unhappy journey will never produce a happy ending. So we offer the vibration first. We offer the feeling tone first. We offer the state first. The flight stops again. Come on, bro. Come on, God. Are you serious? And now I'm in Massachusetts, right? What the fuck am I doing in Massachusetts? And yet, another skill set, another piece picked up. Right? I'm an orange tree. I'm supposed to be an apple, right? But you're picking up stuff all the way. Then there's a moment where you get to New York and you go, oh my God, I see everything I just picked up. I needed to live here, to live here. Let it land. You can visit success, but to live in it, there's going to be some things you need to pick up. So your personality is going to want what it wants when it wants it. The ego is a tricky bitch that'll never be satisfied. But the soul, threefold beings, body, mind, soul. The soul knows the truth. And so our job is to move as much out of the way, the best ability is availability, move as much out of the way so we can be available for that unique direct calling daily. Yes, I bow my head and I move my feet. Action is required. One of the laws in the book is the law of fuck around and find out. Right? That is the law. Right?
Yes.
Find out. Jump. Jump. I'm going to stop there, but you get where I'm going with this. You guys can get me hyped up in here, bro.
Okay. I'll definitely need a breakdown of that law because I love that statement. I always laugh about the memes around it. And, you know, a couple things came up while you were talking. One of them is just because you brought up travel, I just had one of these travel issues right now where I was coming out from Costa Rica doing a retreat for one of my clients. We were supposed to fly to Atlanta. We thought the flight was at 4:01. We check and we're like, why do I have a ticket for 1:15? And we realize we're not going to make that flight. And I feel like this is a different interpretation of what you're saying. And I want to align it, which is we missed that flight, but we were able to find another one direct to LA. So instead of we had a layover in Atlanta to go to LA, we skipped that flight. We missed it. We found a direct. And the way I looked at it was like, hey, maybe we would have had an issue at the border in Atlanta. And the reason this all messed up is because we don't know the consequence of what would have happened if we would have went through the original plan. And so I didn't pick up anything on this shorter flight. We had to take it at 1 a.m, but I try to set my mindset to realize like, hey, maybe this change prevented something that I would not have known. And there was a divine intervention. Now, there's a part of me, again, I'll bring it to the 3D because I like rationalizing spirituality. That's kind of a thing. But it's like Just having that attitude, does that make more of the water drip out the faucet? Is that a bit of a lesson that we're trying to take?
It actually does. It actually does. Because the universe does this thing where, and it's not just humans, right? The universe is looking for willing channels to pour through. So I garden, right? And the moment I place these plants in the ground, the laws, because people think it's luck. It's not luck, it's law. The laws of the universe go to work, right? Germination, everything starts to like do its thing. And all of the plants are reaching towards the sun, right? They're saying, hey, I'll flower, right? I'll create something where the bees can come. I'll send out a fragrance. I'll make it beautiful. I'll make it epic. I'll do my job, right? Everybody is, right? And so when you don't, I'll go to the Bible with this one. There's a parable called the parable of the talents. And I'm not a religious person, but I study a lot, right? A lot. I take life and I take nature and I take it all. There's a parable called the parable of the talents. And it essentially states that this master came and he gave 5 talents to one of his slaves. He gave 2 to another and 1 to another. And he said, all right, you guys go do your thing with these. One with 5 went out, went to work, and came back with 10. The one with 2 went to work, came back with 4. The one with 1 said, ah, I only have 1. And they got more, so I'm going to bury mine. Right? And so he buried it in the sand and he hid it and he held and he held tight. So the master came back and he said, hey, all right, what'd you guys do? And one of the 5 said, hey, I took 5 and I made it 10. The master said, thy good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over few. I shall make thee ruler over many. That's the lesson right there. The one with 2, he said, hey, what'd you do? The 2 said, ah, man, I took 2 and I made it 4. Thank you. He said, thy good and faithful servant, thy have been faithful over few. I shall make thee ruler over many. Lesson. The one with 1 said, what'd you do with it? He said, ah, man, you screwed me. Right? Tom, Jack, Craig, everybody had more. So I just hid mine. Right? Again, don't need to look out the window, but you definitely need to look in the mirror. Right? He said, ah, thy wicked servant, et cetera, et cetera. Because you didn't use it, I'm going to take yours and give it to the one with 10 now. That. You use what you got. You play the hand you were dealt like you actually genuinely fully wanted it. Now I'm going to get super to the ground again here. I was a surf instructor 9.5 years ago. I live on 4 acres and have 3 different houses. And 5 other ones I own. That didn't happen out of nowhere. What did I do? I did the stuff I'm teaching you and talking to you guys about. I stopped looking at being a surf instructor as, oh, I'm just a surf instructor. And I started looking at it as a pit stop. This is North Dakota. What am I picking up here? If I can teach people how to surf, if I can break their psychology and their bodies and put them together and help them experience nature, if I can do this here, then I'd probably be able to do it at a high level. So I'm going to take this pit stop. This surf instructor doesn't look like it's connected to coaching and all that stuff. It totally is. Then I came out of that and I said, I'll put my hand up. I'll do free talks. I'll do anything and everything. And I just followed other people who were doing epic stuff. And you know what else I did? I got rid of all the things that weren't currently serving me. This is what we do in nature. You prune, you cut off the stuff so the energy can go to the healthy ones. So I call it elevation requires separation. So I made a list of all the things that weren't serving me, including talking to my dad often. So I called my dad and I said, hey, I'm on a mission. I'm going to do something big here. In order to do that, I got to stop talking to you for a while. I called my best friend, not just him, a crew. And I said, hey, I know you guys go out all the time and you ask me to go out. Please stop asking me to go out. I'm not going anymore. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing any of those things. I'm on a mission. I got something to do. I'll be back. I love you guys. But I got to separate. You know what else I did? Again, success doesn't require that you look out the window, but you do look at yourself. I looked at this apartment I had that was $2,000 a month at the time. And this is 10 years ago. And I said, do I really need this? The answer was no. So I got rid of the apartment and I moved in with my mom. I moved in with my mom for the sake of something bigger than myself. Again, you might find yourself in North Dakota. What am I doing with my mom? I'm 33 years old. I should not be with my mom at 33. Or, hell yes, I'm with my mom at 33. Let's freaking go. I'm on a mission. These are two different outlooks, right? One of them is doom and gloom. I say it all the time, prison or paradise. You have a choice in any given moment to choose prison or paradise. I chose paradise over and over and over again. I chose a stepping stone over a tombstone over and over and over again. Nothing was going to kill me. Nothing was going to take me out. Why? Because there was something handwritten on my soul that was for me to give. Hear me loud and clear. Jason Mark Campbell, nobody else could have done this podcast but you. This was your fruit. Amongst others, you said yes to your yes. You moved mountains. You did whatever it took to be a beacon, a light, a source for other people, and the fruit doesn't belong to you. Will you benefit from having a healthy tree? Fuck yes. Will I benefit from having a healthy tree? Absolutely. And if you met me in a Walmart bathroom, I would be just as giving, just as generous, just as loving as I was 10 years ago as I am right now. Nothing changed. The money amplified who I already was.
I love that. Preston, you shared a couple of things here that I really think are going to be worth people paying attention to. Number one was making that inventory, making that list, and seeing what is in alignment with that mission. Is sacrifices a good term to what sacrifices you're willing to make, or is that too harsh? It is sacrifices.
Correct. Yes.
And so I love that activity, and I think it's something powerful to do as a mirror exercise. Is what am I doing? Where's my energy going? What's the pruning necessary for me to get closer to what I want? I also want to call back on what you mentioned earlier. Is you said you went on this fast in the forest. You went to kind of do a soul search. The biggest thing, again, from this whole like orange tree, apple tree, is this whole thing about like, what am I supposed to do? What is my purpose? And that's like, it feels like a giant question. And there's just a lot of noise in the normal everyday life routine. And so is this some sort of recommendation? Now, I have a feeling you're not going to say to everybody, go in the forest for 5 days with 2 gallons of water here. But are there some cool things we should be looking to do to at least bring this voice of our soul to be just a little louder than the rest of the noise in our life?
Absolutely. So one of the things I talk about is playing our way to success, right? So again, the body keeps score and the body remembers what the mind forgets. So you don't have to go sit in some therapy chair and talk about all your inner child wounds if you just go feed the inner child. One of the best things you could do for yourself is to figure out what makes your heart smile and then do it on purpose. Because when you're in play, when you're in celebration, when you're playing Call of Duty and all the other things that make your heart smile, yeah, there we go, right? You're offering a vibration. The universe doesn't speak English. It speaks frequency. And so when I'm in the frequency of play and my body is getting that signal over and over and over again, right? You look at me right now, I'll be 44 next month. I looked older at 25 than I do right now. One of the reasons why I'm so sexy is because, right? And so vibrant and alive, truly. I have 4 kids, 5 businesses, 4 houses, 1 wife. I got a lot going on. I barely sleep, and yet I have more energy than most people. It's because I offer the vibration of play every single day. So just hear me loud and clear. Schedule in play. Put it in your calendar. 2015, I did that. I tripled my income in 2015. Just by doing that, I was so full that people wanted to buy from me, hang around me. They wanted to refer me. My cup was so full that the overflow was ridiculous. That's the work.
You're taking me back to, my gosh, maybe over a little year ago, I was in a good place, man. And I was doubting the stuff. I didn't feel in alignment with any of the businesses I was doing. And I was on a trip doing a Spartan race, which is something I love to do with my partner. But in between, like, I just went, I had traveled with my PlayStation and I went through a nostalgia binge of playing all my old Final Fantasy games. And again, I'm always bringing things to the 3D, but this is where the 3D can't explain things that happen, because like I did that. And on that month, I just had a couple phone calls that came in that brought in the right kind of contract. I had one person I'd just been in touch with over the last 3 years then said like, hey, I'd really want you to come into business, which completely shifted what business I was even in. And it didn't come from like white knuckle, go and make 1,000 phone calls. Although I do think there's a time and place for doing that. I think what you're saying is that oftentimes we forget the fact that when you're in this place of joy, fun, vibration, like as much as I'm like the rational guy, I'm also all about that stuff, man. Like all the best things that have happened in my life have been in an environment that's closer to what you're talking about than in the midst of a major hustle, grind, white knuckle moment. And I find that's interesting. And I feel like I need to be reminded of these things that happen at those times, because I don't think I schedule enough of those times to be able to pay attention to the next little clue of where I'm going.
Watch this. Here's the crazy part, right? Because at first it takes discipline, but then that discipline turns into blissipline. And then it becomes just for the sake of it. You don't even need to look anymore. You already know. I literally don't look. I already know. I know that there's seeds being planted right here with you and I that I won't taste or touch or feel for 5 years from now. There's stuff that's going to come from you and I meeting and saying yes that will touch me 8 years from now. I understand the laws of circulation, right? We don't spend money. We circulate it. First of all, that's a bad word, right? Anybody who says I spent or we're spending money, don't say that anymore. You're circulating it. Because to circulate something means it returns back to the sender. And anytime you put anything out from the consciousness of love, that has to come back to you. It's instant and it happens over time. So there's going to come a point where you don't even need to look for it anymore, because you're going to realize that that is literally how the universe works. It's how it works through us, right? We're not elephants. We're not giraffes. There is a way. I have friends with private jets. I have friends who own, you know, $30, $40, $50 million worth of real estate and all that kind of stuff. And those guys are awesome and generous and happy, but so am I. And I have way less than that. And they can feel it. That's why we're friends. They're like, yo, this motherfucker is giant, right? Not because of his stuff. I don't need a dick swinging contest. I like the stuff, but the stuff doesn't mean anything to me, bro. Right? The smile on my kid's face in the morning, the tickles chasing them through the house, that means something, right? The love smacking my wife's ass and kissing her and taking her on date nights, that means something. And the truth is, and this is the thing, Jason, I want to hit everybody with, is there's never been a time that you've starved on the streets of somewhere. It's always worked out. Hey, coach, healer, light worker, therapist, business owner, entrepreneur, it's always worked out. You have never not. Whether it was your money or somebody else's, it's always been taken care of. So you have evidence. The brain, the mind, wants to delete, distort, and generalize. What we do is we cut those wires and we reprogram. This is why you need to buy my book, by the way, because the game is to rewire and to reprogram. You hang in a state of consciousness enough. You start to pick it up. It starts to infuse into yourself and you get it. This is why kids and puppies and certain things are so magical. A kid, a little baby walks in the room and everybody goes, oh, right? It's because they're tuned in. They're tuned in. So this is our job, to retune in. It's not gone. There's a part of you that has never been hurt, harmed, or endangered. There's a part of you that's still pure, that's still clean, that's still powerful. No matter how many things that have occurred, you've made it through. So you lean on that. If you're going to deduce certain things, right? Because that's what we do. We look to the future. We go, oh, and if I don't get a client this month, X, Y, and Z, and it means this, and my kids will starve, and I'm going to starve. And it's like, have you ever starved? Have your kids ever starved? Have you ever not had Netflix in the last 5 to 7 to 10 years? I'm pretty sure you can always get water. You can always get food. The only way you fail is if you quit. That's my truth.
Makes you navigate this journey with a whole lot of different attitude. And I think that's the attitude that actually makes the difference too.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Because you could die.
You could. Well, I guess that brings us back to fuck around and find out. Actually, the reason I bring that back is because you said it and I didn't go and dig on that. And I want to hear more about that law. What do we mean?
Yeah. It's jump in and find out, right? A big piece of what happens with the spiritual community and anybody who gets even a little bit of, you know, notoriety or success is they feel trapped by that thing. And so one of the laws and ways in which I put myself in the current situation is I just kept messing around and finding out. Let me see. Let me try stuff. Let me tinker, right? There's a whole stat that adults will try something 3 times before they quit, while children will try something 750 times and still not quit. They'll just come back. So mess around and find out. See what you're made of, right? The big thing that most people are trying to do is avoid looking stupid. Here, I give you some more like tangible stuff to work with. Figure out / write down who your invisible opponent is. Now, what I mean by that is every single person here has somebody that they're trying to prove, whether it was the bullies in high school, it's your dad, it's your mom, it's that teacher in 9th grade that said you'd never amount to anything. Who's the invisible opponent? Is it the skinny girls? Who are you trying to beat? Because our job is to clean ourselves in such a way that we are available, that we can actually receive. And I can't receive at the level that I want to if I'm still trying to prove that I'm better than my dad. Because that's where I'm doing it from. And by the way, that's what I did. I did that for a long time until I didn't. And everything shot out. I was always doing well for quite a while, but boy, oh boy, did I take a gigantic leap the moment I realized that I didn't need to fight or prove to my dad anymore. Right? Some of you, you used to be a hoe in high school and you're afraid that your cousins or people from college will be like, what, her? Who does she think she is teaching or starting that business? Some of you just don't want your family to make fun of you. So you're doing normal levels of action, right? There's 4 levels of action. The people who do nothing, the people who do a little bit and retreat, the people who do normal action, and the people who do massive action. And the invitation is to massive. Massive is scary. Massive will have people unfollowing you. And that's your biggest fear, is to get a troll and people unfollow. And because what would that mean? It'll mean that you're doing your job, because you're not for everybody. You're not for everybody. I'll give you one more quick lesson. I used to have this dog named Spirit. She was a pit bull Weimaraner. And I would take Spirit to the dog park in LA. And some dogs would come up to her and want to sniff her vulva and her butt. And some dogs didn't. And it was this really interesting, beautiful look at us. And I'm like, they don't hate each other. They just don't fuck with each other. Right? And then some dogs are like, I would like to sniff your butt. Nonstop, Spirit. Can I sniff your butt? Right? And she'd be like, bro, get out of my butt, bro. Get out of my butt, bro. Right? And then other dogs would be just like, I don't even see her. Right? Your business is not for everybody. You know how many people hate me? A lot. You know how many people really love me? Psh, a lot. You know how much of that I care about? None. Because I love me. And I'm listening.
Damn, bro. You know, it's like almost 10 p.m. here, and I'm just like, what? I'm going to have a lot to think on for tonight. But it was an amazing conversation for everybody tuning in. I'm hoping that you're getting a bit of your mind being loosened up a little bit and considering different ways of going about whatever it is you're doing. I love that you're coming in from this place of love through everything you're sharing. I really appreciate some of the things that you brought forward that I think could be actions people can take immediately, which is, one is find ways to see what are the pruning elements of your life that you might want to go and prune to see how you can be best in service of what is the gift that you're naturally going to bring. One of the takeaways I'm taking out of here, Preston, is just like, stop worrying so much about the journey that I'm on and realize that the journey's already been set. And if you're just doing the things you're naturally doing because you've taken the time to maybe figure out a bit of what is the direction that you want to go in. And even if not, that is the direction. Like, as much as I'm trying to rationalize, like, I think I'm supposed to have even more direction. No. Just go. See where that leads you. There's even something I've picked up from this conversation, which is this whole invisible enemy exercise. to me, I already know. It's funny because I was working on this not long ago, which is I have a little voice that says, whatever I do doesn't matter because my parents, you know, they were quite well off. And so what you do doesn't matter. So now my reaction is I need to work harder than everybody else and pick the difficult route just to try to outperform and prove. And then I'm like, wait, what if I didn't do that? I wouldn't be doing the normal action anymore. I'd be doing massive action. And I can start investigating how to do that even more. And so for everybody else tuning in, I hope that you've gotten some great takeaways. I'd love to hear about it in the comments. So definitely leave a few of those so we can see what your takeaway was. And of course, you need to go out and buy Spiritual Millionaire. Books out. If you're listening to this and it's already August 2024, you can pick it up. Unlocking the 7 Inner Laws of Abundance and Money. And you definitely want to grab a copy of that. Go through so much more that Preston shares. We've just touched the tip of the iceberg. And if you enjoyed this conversation, you're going to massively enjoy going through that book. Very, very excited to see that come out. And finally, Preston, I can't let you go without the one question I ask all my guests, which is, you are on the Selling with Love podcast. And so, what does selling with love mean to you?
It means honoring humanity within yourself and within the other in such a way that you speak to them like you would your grandmother. We take care of each other like we would our grandmothers.
I like that. Preston, it's been an absolute joy reconnecting, having you share so much with my audience. Thank you so much. For everybody tuning in, tap into that love. Go and check out more from Preston. And of course, keep selling with love. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.